First of all, I want to say good afternoon and happy Sabbath to all. And if anybody joins in or will hear this recording, I want to first of all say I apologize for not only the late start, but the fact that I've been trying to upload the lesson online that we can go over. It's taken from some, you know, amazing facts where we can read and study the Word of God. And this week's lesson would have been a continuation of what was started last week with Brother John Spellman on, you know, does God inspire psychics and astrologists? In other words, what are the marks of a true prophet? Well, I don't have the lesson in front of me because of that, so I cannot continue that. But in the vein of Inspirited Network, I'm going to use what is current events and talk about something just for a little while. Okay, one of the great things that God has done is that through the gift of this thing called prophecy, God outlines things that are soon to come or have not yet come to pass. It gives you a basic outline of what to expect, what you will see, so you know that when these things come to pass, you know it came from God. God tells you beforehand. In the book of Matthew, he says in chapter 24, see, I have told you before. Well, I told you beforehand so that you'll know when these things come to pass. This is not some random act. This is not some coincidence. This is God's word coming to pass. And in fact, Matthew 24 is where I want to go to because Jesus gives a discourse on the Mount of Olives. And he breaks down what to expect in the last days coming directly from his mouth. And I want us to see this being fulfilled today with just certain events that have come to pass just in this week. And Jesus says this in Matthew 24, looking at the King James Version, and it says this, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. In fact, hold on, I'm going to back up. I'm going to go to verse 3 because he's giving them a sign for a certain time in the future. And the question was, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So the disciples wanted to know, if you're claiming, according to verses 1 and 2, that all these stones are going to be thrown down from the temple, the temple will face destruction. We know that if the temple is ever to be destroyed again, in our mind, it's the end. So Jesus is going to expand on this idea and give them some truth that they were not ready for. Because he tells them that they're going to face the church, they're going to face some hard times. But these hard times will be leading us up to gearing our faith to trust in God, and he will soon return to save us. So again, with verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. That's verse 11. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So we see from verse 4, Jesus tells you that we are not to be caught off guard. We are not to be shocked and surprised. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. So we should be alert and on high guard when God is revealing these things. Now you may ask, what does this have to do with the basic lesson from Inspirited Network about psychics versus true prophets? Well, the Bible says, we just read, that take heed that no man deceive you. And then it says in verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We see this happening today at a grand scale. And it saddens me because I remember growing up as a young boy in the 70s. And I was just a little boy, but I knew about this guy named Jim Jones. And Jim Jones had deceived 900 and some odd people to kill themselves. To kill themselves. Drinking the Kool-Aid, which had cyanide in it. And nearly 1,000 people were ready to sacrifice their lives for this man. A few were able to survive. But can you imagine a congregation of 900 plus dying, thinking they're doing God's word or God's work? This is the false prophets that shall arise and deceive many. And while Jim Jones is just one example, today we have several. We have many men that come back and forth and they preach a false gospel. Verse 14 of Matthew 24 tells that it is this gospel of the kingdom. It's a particular gospel. It's this gospel. It's not just any old thing. But these guys preach their own gospel. They preach prosperity gospel. They preach all type of false ideology. They preach false tongues. They preach riches. They preach that you can get the millennium here. That they preach in a rapture. They preach all these things that the Bible does not discuss, and they claim it to be the word of God. But we're supposed to make sure that no man can deceive us. And most of them are going to come like Jesus, according to verse 5. They're saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to try to look and act like Jesus. And at the same time, we'll be living in a time where it shall be wars and rumors of wars. Oh, do we see that today? We're concerned with Iran. We're concerned with Pakistan and Syria. We're concerned with Turkey. We're concerned with ISIS. We're concerned with this and we're concerned with that. And matter of fact, even within our own borders, there's civil unrest. There's religious persecution going on. There's still racial profiling and racial hatred going on. The police don't like the people, and the people can't trust the police. There's corruption at an all-time high in places of law. And the wars and rumors of wars are just happening every day, and we see it. We are not prepared for what's coming. And Jesus says we got to pay attention because, see, according to verse 6, don't be too troubled. See that ye be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we have to understand that wars are going to rise. Nations are going to fight against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine. There will be pestilence, earthquake, and all kinds of different places. Do we see that? How many times has Manila, the Philippines, been hit? Japan. I mean, we're even seeing more and more disaster and crazy weather here in America. Things are going topsy-turvy, and we think this is just some scientific explanation. Everything is some form of El Nino or some form of the climate control. And I'm not saying there's no part of that in there, but it's really a sign of the time that we need to turn our eyes back to Christ. And right now, more than ever, Christianity is being very much maligned, very much hated, very much attacked. In Florida, where I live, Florida, you're starting to see now that in the southern Florida states that they're trying to pass laws for churches where they have to have a business license to keep them operational. You can look this up on YouTube. Then you can find out that there's also the attack on the Bible in the sense that we're now, the Church of Satan has printed out their own children books, and they want them in the schools, and they're using Florida as the experiment ground. So we're seeing that there's a definite attack, which shows right here in verse 9 and 10 that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And, you know, even in the church, we see the infighting, and we can no longer agree on certain things anymore. The doctrine that used to be so sound doesn't seem sound anymore. But Paul warned us that they would not endure sound doctrine. So here we are, right for the picking. And if we don't know the truth in the Word, if we are not familiar with the Word of God, if we are not paying attention to His voice and being obedient to the master of the flock, another shepherd will come in and deceive many, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And I want to talk about one in particular who just this week has made the announcement to his church and to all those that are affiliated with him that he wants to buy a brand new jet. A jet so that he can supposedly, with he and his team of ministers, deliver the gospel message. This is none other than Creflo Dollar from Georgia. And Creflo Dollar has a plane already, but he had some engine failure, and the story goes that his pilot was able to safely land them. But of course, when you're in the air, everything is scary when things go crazy. So I understand in the concept that you want a better plane, you want something that's going to be reliable, especially if you're going in the air. And I get that. On a business level, I get it. My problem isn't that the man is asking for the congregation and for his supporters and for those he is involved with to donate the money for the plane. And by the way, the plane is going to cost $65 million. That doesn't even include gas and fuel and all those other things and insurance and take and you know upkeep. $65 million for a Gulfstream G650. I think they've only made maybe 100 or 200 of these planes. $65 million for this plane. And if you were going to tell me that Creflo Dollar was known for doing great humanitarian work, and he was going to feed people in Africa and India, I might donate some money. If you were to tell me that Creflo is going to go take some of his estimated wealth, which is estimated at $27 million of his own personal wealth, if he would take some of his wealth and he was going to make sure that children with diseases and pestilence were being healed and they were being taken care of, or you know, made their lives a little bit better, if they were putting kids in school and, you know, giving gifts and helping people out, building a hospital, or, you know, something of that nature, I might want to give money. But this man wants to get a plane for the sake of the gospel. My question is, which gospel is this man trying to promote? Because the gospel that Jesus promotes did not promote riches. Now, let me be very clear. God is not against a man being rich. If riches were a requirement for heaven, Jesus would try to make sure that we all have money. But one of the problems is that many times the rich have the wrong concept of helping others. Many times the rich have the wrong concept of love, and they think that their ability, because they're rich and have money, put them in a better place than those who do not. And the truth of the matter is with Jesus, you cannot work your way into heaven. You can't take your goods and use them as bargaining tools into heaven. What you have is faith in Christ. And then what you do is with that which you are able to use and give, you use for his honor and glory. But Creflo Dollar does not promote that. He promotes, and you can look it up on any YouTube or site, and you can find all kind of quotes, him actually speaking this stuff in the video, that he wants in his view, he wants everyone to be rich and prosper, and that's the gospel. And he says in one clip that your tithe is your covenant connector. I can't find those words in the Bible, that it is the tithe that keeps you connected to God. It is the tithe that helps you and proves your worth to God. And I'm thinking, no, it doesn't. Yes, we should tithe as a form of trust, which makes sure the church is able to function, that it can help other people, that we have a place to worship, that it is there to give honor and glory to God. We should do things to honor and glorify God with our money and with our time. However, the tithe does not mean the end-all, be-all of righteousness. Tithing will not make me get into heaven. Then he makes statements such as, Jesus was rich. Show me that in the Bible. That all his disciples are rich. Show me that in the Bible. They intimate that if you stay poor, you're doing something wrong. Wait a minute. The Bible says the poor you will have with you always. One of the signs that he gave to the disciples of John the Baptist when John had questioned why he was locked up was that you see that the blind can now see, that the lame can now walk, and that the poor receive the gospel of the kingdom. God wanted the poor man, the man that seems like he's outcast, to be lifted up through the gospel truth, to know that he was loved and accepted, not to be belittled or made to feel less than, but to know that in Christ he can lift you out of your muck and mire. The poor you will have with you always, he says. But they twist the truth. In fact, in one thing you can look up on, it's called Pay Tithes or Get Shot. Creflo Dollar says that in one of his ideas for building the World Dome, which is the name of his church, the World Dome for World Changes International, he wanted to have a card system, swiping system, where that when you come into the church, you swipe your card as a member. And if you're a tithing member, it would say, according to what he said in the website, welcome, welcome, welcome to the World Dome. It'll be a nice, beautiful music, and you feel welcome, you know, welcome inside because you paid tithe. But if you are not a tithe, if you are a non-tithing member and you swiped your card, the alarms would go off in this town, would go crook, 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 and the bars would shut down on those non-tithing members, and the deacons and ushers would come over, and they would gather up the non-tithing members and take them outside, and they would pass the deacons and the ushers Uzis, weapons of death, guns, to shoot the non-tithing members. And because they wanted Jesus to be in the service, they would take the Uzis, and in the count of 1, 2, 3, Jesus, they would shoot them all dead and then throw them into a pit and cover them up and then come back into service. And he says that if not for the blood of Jesus, he would do that. This is from Creflo Dollar's own mouth. And then he's going to tell people that he's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ when he gets this plane. There's nothing that he said, nothing that I quoted, nothing that you can look up that we just discussed that sounds like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not looking to destroy people. He's looking to save people. Jesus is not looking at your financial status. He's looking at your spiritual status, where your heart is, and if you want to be saved. In fact, the famous quote is that he told the rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have and come follow me. Don't be tied up to the earthly riches or you'll miss out in heavenly riches. And the Bible says the rich young ruler went home sorrowful because he had much riches. Add to the fact that Jesus then goes on to say, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Then you read in Revelation chapter 3 that one of Laodicea's problems, the seventh and last church before Jesus comes back, is that they think they are rich, increased in goods, and in need of nothing. They have a problem. They think they're rich, but they're truly poor. The Bible says that they are wretched, miserable, poor, naked, and blind. We don't know our condition, but because we think what the world tells you, if you have money, if you have financial status, if you have some kind of lucrative funds, if you're economically viable, then you are okay. Listen, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be poor. I like to have a little money in my pocket. I can be able to do things with my family, take them places. No one wants to argue with that. But what I'm telling you is that if you think that is your passport to the kingdom of God, you are sadly mistaken. And any church that preaches and teaches that is not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're teaching a false gospel, a gospel of self. Selfishness and self-worship and the worship of filthy lucre, following the God called Mammon. And Jesus is not promoting that. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and Mammon, and Mammon means riches. We are told that the love, not money itself, but the love, the lust, the covetousness of it, of money, is the root of all evil. The desire for power, the desire for having things, the desire for wealth, to the point where you are no longer content with what God has given you and you're not trying the legal route to make it happen, you are looking to promote evil because you're going to do whatever you got to do to get what you want. And that is not the gospel. The gospel is about giving things up. The gospel is about suffering. The gospel is about sacrifice. The gospel is about righteousness. The gospel is not about you, but what God has done for you and through you and in you. But instead, we follow these preachers. Too many of us follow these preachers that fill us up with a load of garbage. Now, let me say this. These guys cannot be successful without telling you some inkling of truth. But, you know, the old saying that even a broke clock is right twice a day. So they tell you enough truth to get you in the door, and then they feed you their twisted mess. And some of us seem to like the flavor or the desire of it, and we chase after these things, but it is not the gospel truth. And a true prophet of God, a true foreteller of understanding will know that we are living in these times, but we see it, but we are being deceived. Left and right. Just a year or two ago, we had another false prophet telling us when, 2 years ago, the guy from Family Radio saying Jesus is going to come and people are going to disappear. Nothing happened. And he predicted it twice in 1 year. Once, I think, in May and another time in October. Nothing happened. Then another guy named Jesus de Miranda, another false prophet last year, predicted that in July he would be announced as God and the people would be raptured. Nothing happened. People even chased after the pagan stories of 2012. And guess what? We're in 2015, so nothing happened. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour but God. And we chase after that stuff more than chasing after the truth in God's word. And Jesus predicted it. We just read it in Matthew 24 that the false prophets are going to rise and deceive many. Left and right, there are so many false prophets that tell you you don't have to obey God's law, that the law is done away with. Well, if there's no law, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no need for a Savior. If there's no need for a Savior, you don't need Jesus. And therefore, you can put down the gospel because it's the story of a Savior who came to save you from your sins because you broke the law. And since there's none of that, you don't need the preacher and you don't need the church either. And left and right, people are throwing stones at the Bible, throwing stones at the church, throwing stones at Christian believers, making us look bad. And some of us help us out, help them out, because we do some crazy stuff or say some crazy things, thinking that Jesus would approve. The problem is that there's a Jesus from the Bible, a Jesus of love and sacrifice, a Jesus who is a God that would actually humble himself and become like us to save us so that one day we can be like him. And then there's the Jesus of convenience, the Jesus that all he does is make me rich but doesn't change my character, the Jesus that makes me feel good about myself while I'm still sinning, the Jesus that allows me to deceive others. People like those types of Jesus, a revolutionary Jesus, they say, a historical Jesus, they say, but they don't talk about the loving, kind Jesus, the Jesus who also spoke against errors and against wrongdoings and wanted the people to be upright with one another. They don't talk about the Jesus that came into the temple and whipped people for being corrupt, tossed the table because people were selling righteousness instead of offering love to the people, telling lies and deception, more concerned about money than soul salvation. They don't want to talk about that Jesus. People want to still stuck on physical Israel, and physical Israel doesn't give a hoot about the Messiah they rejected. Meanwhile, the church, who is the symbol of Israel, the spiritual Israel, according to the book of Galatians and the book of Romans chapter 9 and 11, those that have believed and have grafted into the faith and those who are the children of adoption, that is Israel. And we are struggling because we don't even know who we are, let alone who our God is. And this is why we have an issue on who's a real prophet or not, who's telling us the truth or not. Are we listening to the right voice, according to John chapter 10? Do we truly know the voice of the Good Shepherd? The Bible gives us two various accounts of what makes a false prophet, and most of us are stuck on one. And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 18, you need to go home and study that later. Deuteronomy chapter 18, where he commends Moses, that Moses is the kind of prophet that he's going to send, and he's going to send a prophet to come, which was a reference to the Messiah, in the same vein of Moses, someone who will be a deliverer, who will come out of their own people and speak to the people and teach them truth to get right, forsake their sins, and turn to face the God of their fathers. And the Bible says that I will send another prophet like unto my servant Moses from among your brethren. So he'll come out of the children, the physical children of Israel, and he will speak my words that I put in his mouth. And the prophet that presumes to speak the word to you, and it does not come to pass, you shall not be afraid of him. So we're told to look for a prophet that speaks in the uplifting way that Moses did, the lifting up of Jesus, the lifting up of Christ, the lifting up of God the Father, the Messiah, someone who will come in that vein, a deliverer, who will lead you out of falsehood into truth. And look out for the guy that says, I'm a prophet too, but you know that when he speaks, his words don't come to pass. We'll know that that's not a prophet. There's no need to be afraid of him. That's one prophet, and I think most of us are ready for that guy. The guy that says this will happen on such and such a day, and it doesn't come to pass, we know he's not the prophet. That's easy. We can get that. But there's a prophet that we have to be careful of, and he's found in Deuteronomy chapter 13.
verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy, I'm turning there now, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And this is the prophet that has got many of the people of God stumped. It says this, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, 2, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. 3 says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. In other words, God is saying, you can't be deceived unless you want to. Remember earlier, take heed that no man deceive you? Jesus says you're going to come across a person that comes out of the church, and he's going to claim to be a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, according to verse 1, and he shall give you a sign or a wonder. Verse 2 says, and the sign or the wonder will come to pass. In other words, they're going to say or do something, and it's going to happen in front of you, and you're going to be going, wow. You're going to be caught off guard a little bit. But God is saying, pay attention to what they say next. Because it says, wherefore he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. God is saying, listen, when they start throwing you the curveball, when things look too good to be true, but then they throw you the curveball and say, hey, we don't have to worship God that way anymore. We don't have to worship that God. Let's go after other gods. Let's bring other false idols in. Let's bring false worship in here. Let's do stuff that Jesus would never want us to do. Let's go serve them. God is saying, I'm putting you on notice that I've come to prove you, or I've come to test you, verse 3 says. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is proveth you. He's testing you to know whether or not you truly love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He wants to know, will you be still obedient to God even when things look miraculous to you from the other side? The Bible warns us in Revelation chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 16 that it is through miracles that the beast confuses the people. In chapter 13, the beast from the earth deceives the people and turns the people back to the beast from the sea, which hunted and destroyed the saints of God. And chapter 16 is the power of miracles that deceiveth the kings of the earth and causes men to gather together for the battle of Armageddon. It is miracles that people will use and not give you the word of God and deceive many. But God's formula is different. God's formula is my word and then the miracle backs it up and proves that I am God. Satan's formula is, I don't have a word, so I'm going to give you a miracle that's going to catch you off guard. Then I'll say anything and call it the word, and you'll think it's righteousness. And too many people believe what they see without measuring what they've heard. And the Bible is clear about hearing. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are not hearing the unadulterated word of God, if we are not hearing truth unmitigated, if we are not hearing a straight line of truth that doesn't deviate, that doesn't change, that will not accept low standards, that will not accept sinfulness,
that will not accept selfishness. If we're not hearing truth that says put all those other things aside and cling to Christ, then we are hearing lies and falsehoods. You see, a miracle alone can't save you. Remember, in Egypt, Moses threw down the rod, it became a serpent. The Egyptian threw down a rod, it became a serpent. Both had miracles, but only one came from the word of God. Same thing on Mount Carmel. The contest was, Elijah told them, all the priests of Baal, that we'll have two altars. None of us will light the fire. We'll have two altars. We'll have water. We'll have bullocks for the sacrifice, but none of us will light the fire. And the God that answers by fire is God. And all the priests agreed to the terms of the contest, which would make you think either they were sneaky or they had seen some type of display of power like that before. This is a power contest, and the true power lies in the word of God. We can be deceived with special effects. We can be deceived by sleight of hand. We can be deceived by what we see or demons appearing as men and performing miracles, but we will not fall if we stay tuned to the word of God and do as David says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We've got to measure the truth by what we know to be right according to the Bible, which has never failed, which has a strong line of history and a strong line of prophecy that lets us know where we are today. Otherwise, many of us will be like the followers of Creflo Dollar, paying donations for a false gospel. The Bible wants us to be wise unto salvation. And according to 2 Timothy, you're only wise unto salvation through the study of the scripture. Jesus wants us prepared, that no man can deceive us. We need to be ready to stand in that great day. On behalf of the Inspirited Network, Brother John Spellman and myself from Brian Johnson, we say thank you for listening in. I pray that what we studied today has caused you to think, caused you to want to seek the Lord in a deeper, committed relationship, has made you decide that you want to know the truth about prophecy, the truth about true prophets, the truth about God's word and how things will end, so that you can be ready to stand and let no man deceive you. I pray that is your desire. We will close now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I say thank you. You know, what technology failed today, your word never failed. While the website was down, we still can communicate and study your word. Lord, you love us so much that not only did you send your son to die and to rise again with all power that he wants to share with us so that we can be saved, but you sent us your word written down so that we can know the truth and not be deceived. Lord, I ask that you first of all forgive me and my shortcomings, Lord, and help me to do thy will. All that have listened in and tuned in today and hear these words, I pray that they were clear and concise and that people got the message so that you could be lifted up and that they could be saved and not be lost. Their families can come on into the ark of safety, which is knowing you. And they will leave churches of falsehood. They will leave behind psychics and astrologists and those that think they can tell the time. But if they're not lined up with you, Lord, they absolutely know nothing.
Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us, Lord, to love your truth with a passion, that we will not be deluded by the lie. Help us to have a love for your truth that will not be broken. Help us to be able to see you in peace. Lord, you told us beforehand, help us to take you. Bless each and every family under the sound of my voice. This is what we ask. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Until we're able to meet again next week, I pray great things for all of us. I pray that we will study the Word, that we will link and tie into the Word of God so closely that no man can remove it from us, that it will be built into our hearts. Until next week, once again, on behalf of the Inspirited Network, we say God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.